This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Check.
And now, the news.
Check.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hi, I'm looking for a way to connect two landmasses over a body of water. Can you help me out with that?
Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here, your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama, the show that normally takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. I'm your host, Chuck Tomasi, with another special for you. I am fascinated by bridges, especially suspension bridges, and one of my favorites is the Mackinac Bridge. The Mackinac Bridge is the longest suspension in the Western Hemisphere and the third longest suspension bridge in the world. Connecting the upper and lower peninsulas in the state of Michigan in the United States, the bridge is 26,372 feet long. If you measure the bridge's most conventional suspension bridges from pier to pier, the bridge is not the longest. But if you include the anchorages, the Mighty Mac, or Big Mac as some call her, is the record holder. November 1st, 2007 marks the 50th anniversary of the Mackinac Bridge. Technorama called up the Mackinac Bridge Authority to speak with engineer Kim Nowak to see how the bridge is getting along. What is your role with the Mackinac Bridge Authority?
Okay, I'm the chief engineer here at the Mackinac Bridge, so I'm in charge of the engineering and maintenance department.
Oh, terrific! I think we've got the right department then.
Yeah.
How long have you worked for the MBA?
I've worked here for a little over 5 years, and I worked for the State Highway Department for over 20 years.
Now, my initial question is, if the bridge is all built, why do they need an engineer at this point? What is it you do with respect to the bridge? And
the bridge is, it'll be 50 years old on November 1st. It will have been open for business for 50 years then. And so as it's getting older and older, it needs more and more maintenance. And so that's one of the parts of my job, is to find out what parts need maintenance and repair and to keep on top of all those things.
A newspaper, the Lansing Republican, dated February 5, 1884, reprinted a story from the Grand Traverse Herald, pointing out that the experiment to provide all-year service across the straits by boat had failed, and that if a great east-west route were to ever be established through Michigan, a bridge or tunnel would be required. The editor considered both as practicable. The only question in his mind was that of cost. The dedication of the Brooklyn Bridge in 1883 gave Mackinac Bridge backers encouragement. A St. Ignace store owner in 1884 reprinted an artist's conception of the famous New York structure in his advertising and captioned it, "Proposed Bridge Across the Straits of Mackinac." On July 1, 1888, the board of directors of the famous Grand Hotel at Mackinac Island held their first meeting, and the minutes show that Cornelius Vanderbilt said, "We now have the largest well-equipped hotel of its kind in the world for a short-season business. Now what we need is a bridge across the straits." The Great Firth of Forth Bridge in Scotland was under construction then and completed in 1889. During the ensuing years, there were a few far-fetched ideas about the connection of Michigan's two peninsulas. In 1920, the State Highway Commissioner suggested a floating tunnel. He invited other engineers to suggest ideas for crossing the straits. Mr. C.E. Fowler of New York City came forward with an ambitious project to solve the problem with a series of bridges and causeways that would start at Sheboygan, some 17 miles southeast of Mackinac City, traverse Bois Blanc and Round Islands, touch the southern tip of Mackinac Island, and leap across the deep channel at St. Ignace. I've been over it a number of times, and it seems like there's always somebody painting this or working on that lane. How much time goes into maintenance each year? You mentioned it's more and more.
We spend the whole summer on maintenance. We have a staff of 40 to 50 maintenance workers. Part of those are spot painting crews, and the rest are general maintenance. And we do painting repairs, beam repairs, pavement repairs, joint repairs. So they start work in the spring, and we quit in the fall when the weather gets too bad to get out there. But any day that the weather is good enough to get out there, we're out there maintaining the bridge.
Now, the Mackinac Bridge is a suspension bridge, so obviously there's things to consider about the cables and the roadway. What about underwater? Is there any type of inspections or maintenance that has to go on with the footings?
Yeah, it's a federal requirement that we inspect the underwater portions every 5 years, and so we just finished that this summer, as a matter of fact. Part of my job is to hire a consultant firm of engineers that are also divers that dive on all our piers and inspect all the underwater portions.
So how did this last inspection go?
Oh, it went great. There's no problems under there, and all our inspections to date have been the same, so we don't have any problems underwater with our bridge at all. We follow all the federal requirements for inspection, and in fact, we do more than what the feds require for our inspections. And like I said, we have all our maintenance staff out there every year climbing all around doing things, so we're in effect inspecting it all the time. So we're pretty comfortable with that.
In 1923, the legislature ordered the State Highway Department to establish a ferry service at the Straits. Within 5 years, traffic on this facility became so heavy that the late Governor Fred Green ordered the same agency to make a study of bridge feasibility. The report was favorable, and its cost was estimated at $30 million. Some strides to get the project underway were taken, but it was eventually dropped. Writing in the Michigan Alumnus Quarterly Review, spring 1937, the late James H. Sissel, secretary of the Mackinac Straits Bridge Authority, said, "Early in 1934, the matter was again revived and proposed as a suitable PWA project. In the extra session of 1934, the legislature created the Mackinac Straits Bridge Authority of Michigan and empowered it to investigate the feasibility of such construction and to finance the work by issuance of revenue bonds. The authority began its studies in May 1934 and has been continuously active since that date. Although limited funds precluded full and complete preliminary studies, the authority was able to reach the conclusion that it was feasible to construct a bridge directly across the straits at an estimated cost of not more than $32,400,000 for a combined two-lane highway and one-track railway bridge. In its studies, the authority utilized soundings made by the War Department engineers and was aided by the gratuitous counsel and advice of the engineers and contractors experienced in working of this magnitude." The Mackinac Bridge isn't just one suspension bridge. It's actually made up of various pieces and parts. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah, the suspension bridge is positioned over the shipping channel. We are like the 10th largest bridge in the world when you consider the length between the center spans. Our length between the center spans is 3,800 feet. But you add our side spans on and we move up to like number 3 in the world. But then you've got lots and lots of approach spans to get us up to the 5-mile range length of bridge that are on either end of the suspension portion.
There is one resemblance to Disney World that I've picked up on. The Mackinac Bridge has its own AM radio station as you get close to tell you about bridge conditions, what you're allowed to bring across, or things you shouldn't bring across. Can you go into that?
We maintain two radio stations, one on either end, and we use those most importantly for when we have wind events going on here and we can tell the motorists to slow down, or if we're doing a wind escort, we can notify them about that. Also, when we have lane closures, we like to give the motorists information about that kind of thing. And then we have some public service announcements there about bringing certain kinds of firewood across with some emerald ash borers in it, which is kind of a hot topic lately. So whenever we don't have wind events or lane closures, we'll have the public service announcements giving some historical information and things the motorists might find useful.
I just think it's a beautiful bridge. I can't take enough pictures of it from any angle. There's a lovely park in St. Ignace that's looking right down the line of the bridge that I've got at least a handful of pictures posted on Flickr from there, from the water, from the fort on the other side. It's very fascinating.
Yes, I believe you're not the only one that thinks that, because the area is very popular for tourism, both sides of the bridge, and people are always taking pictures from different vantage points and putting those pictures in different publications and on the web.
Personally, I think it's better looking than the Golden Gate Bridge, but don't tell my friends.
Oh, okay, I won't tell your friends that. We think so, too, here.
It's got more character. I just think it does. Could have something to do with growing up for 20 years in Michigan. Who knows?
Yeah, right. You're a little bit partial, I would think, as we all are.
The authority made two attempts between 1934 and 1936 to obtain loans and grants from the Federal Emergency Administration of Public Works, but PWA refused both applications despite endorsement by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers and the report that the late President Roosevelt favored the bridge. Notwithstanding these setbacks, bridge backers resumed their efforts with the usual vigor. From 1936 to 1940, a new direct route was selected. Borings were made, traffic, geologic, ice, and water current studies of a very comprehensive nature were completed. A mole, or causeway, jutting 4,200 feet into the straits from St. Ignace south was constructed. Preliminary plans for a double suspension span were drawn, and the possibility of a bridge became very real. But the armies of Europe began to march, and bridge progress came to a halt. Finally, in 1947, the state legislature abolished the Mackinac Straits Bridge Authority. Again, the bridge backers swung into action, and a citizens' committee was established to obtain legislation recreating a bridge authority. By 1950, the legislation was enacted, but it limited the newly created authority to determine feasibility only. The law required the authority to consult with three of the world's foremost long-span bridge engineers and traffic consultants for advice on physical and financial feasibility. There's a lot of folklore around the bridge when it was being built and over the years. What is the most interesting story you've heard about the bridge?
True or false stories?
I'll take whatever is good for the listener at this point.
Well, there's an urban legend about one of the workers falling into the concrete and being buried into the concrete, and that one is false. So, but I hear it repeated all the time, and that get questions asked about that. There is no one buried in the concrete of the Mackinac Bridge.
Because that was before Jimmy Hoffa disappeared, right?
Yes, that would have been before Jimmy Hoffa. Uh-huh.
What is the most interesting thing that's happened to you in your 5 years?
Oh, my. My whole job is interesting. I never know from day to day what I'm going to be working on. I work on the security system, on the electrical work, on hiring consultants and contractors, designing projects, and dealing with our events we have, like Labor Day Bridge Walk and some of the other fun things we do here. It's just, it's very interesting. Every day is.
In January 1951, the authority submitted a very favorable preliminary report, stating that the bridge could be built and financed with revenue bonds of $86 million. But because of a shortage of materials due to the Korean outbreak, legislation to finance and build the structure was delayed until early 1952. Immediately, the authority asked the Reconstruction Finance Corporation to purchase $85 million worth of bonds. While the agency was studying the request, a private investment banker became interested in the project and offered to manage a group of investment companies which would underwrite the sale of the bonds. The authority accepted the offer and was ready to offer its bonds for sale by March of 1953. There were not enough takers to guarantee successful underwriting. The money market had weakened. In order to make the bond more attractive, the legislature passed an act during the spring of 1953 whereby the operating and maintenance cost of the structure, up to $417,000 annually, would be paid for out of gasoline and license plate taxes. Another effort to finance with this added inducement in June of 1953 was likewise unsuccessful, but toward the end of the year, the market recovered and $99,800,000 worth of Mackinac Bridge bonds were bought by investors all over the country. Contracts which had been awarded contingent upon this financing were immediately implemented. You mentioned the Labor Day Bridge Walk. Can you go into a little bit about that for the listeners who don't know?
Sure. Every year, it's usually on Labor Day that we offer a family walk for people where they can, it's the only day of the year that they can walk across the bridge. So we close down a couple lanes to traffic, and we allow walkers to walk in one direction across the 5 mile span. And it's very popular. This year, on our 50th anniversary, we had, they estimated that 57,000 people walking across the bridge. So it was a lot of fun.
How long did it take for all those people to get across the bridge?
Well, they opened it up at 7 in the morning, and I think we closed the starting gate at about 3 or 3:30 in the afternoon because there were so many people that wanted to walk this year. So, a lot of people.
Now, that just shuts down half of the bridge. Are there other types of events that can shut down the entire bridge?
Well, not usually, but this year on our special anniversary, the 50th, we had some fireworks, some special fireworks that were shot off on both ends in Mackinac and over here in St. Ignace, and we shut down the bridge for that. We also had a parade that went across the bridge, and we shut down the bridge for that. Those are very special occasions, so that doesn't happen very often at all.
How about natural events, the wind or the ice?
Yeah, if the wind gets to an average of 65 miles an hour, then we close the bridge totally to traffic. And then we have different stages we go through when we get up to that level of wind. And sometimes we'll have snow, blowing snow, where the visibility is zero, and we'll close the bridge then. Or we have had ice falling off the cables down onto the roadway, like on a spring day after a rainy ice event. So we've closed the bridge for that kind of thing, too.
The 5 mile bridge, including approaches and the world's longest suspension bridge between cable anchorages, had been designed by the great engineer Dr. David B. Steinman. Mary Chapman and Scott Corporation's $25 million agreement to build all the foundations led to the mobilization of the largest bridge construction fleet ever assembled. The American Bridge Division of the United States Steel Corporation, awarded a $44 million contract to build this superstructure, began its work of planning and assembly. In U.S. Steel's mills, the various shapes, plates, bars, wire, and cables of steel necessary for the superstructure and for the caissons and cofferdams of the foundation were prepared. The bridge was officially begun amid proper ceremonies on May 7th and 8th, 1954, at St. Ignace and Mackinac City. Whenever we drive over the bridge, my wife is always leery about driving on the grating in the middle. That's obviously for airflow. You have to, you know, to make sure the bridge doesn't wobble and wind considerations and everything. But she's always afraid that it's not as safe. Can you convince her otherwise of that?
Yeah, that's plenty safe on the center of the open grating. We've had that grating tested, and we have each piece of that grating inspected every year as part of our annual inspection, and each piece is given a rating, and if that pieces need repair, we do that here with our own forces, replace the open grating. So it is very safe.
One of the things I find fascinating as I drive across the bridge is there's sections where they're interlocking fingers for expansion and contraction because it is such a long structure and needs to flex with the heat and cold. What is the average expansion and contraction that the bridge can see in the course of its extremes?
We have quite a few of those kind of joints scattered throughout the bridge. And it's in constant motion, moving up and down with the weight of traffic, with the wind, and with the temperature changes. So it moves tens of feet in its span between the hot and cold seasons of the year.
It's just amazing that somebody had to think about that when they were building this bridge 50 years ago.
That's right. They had to think of the extreme temperatures. They had to think of how much movement they had to allow for in all those joints and all those different connections that are underneath there.
Now, it's been around for 50 years. Is there a life expectancy to the bridge?
I get that question a lot, and parts of the bridge are 50 years old, and parts of it are just a week old with the different repairs that we've made. So if we keep up with the maintenance and the inspection, we can maintain this bridge for a long, long time.
That's good news.
Yes, that is good news, and we're right on top of things here.
Being such a prominent figure and commercially valuable, are you affected when it comes to terrorist alerts?
Yes, we get notified from Homeland Security or the state police on different terrorist security levels, and we follow those levels and either ramp up our security or do what we need to handle those situations.
The bridge opened to traffic on November 1st, 1957, according to schedule, despite the many hazards of marine construction over the turbulent Straits of Mackinac. The last of the Mackinac Bridge bonds were retired July 1st, 1986. Fare revenues are now used to operate and maintain the bridge and repay the state of Michigan for monies advanced to the authority since the facility opened to traffic in 1957. The Mackinac Bridge has one interesting feature that is not part of the structure itself. Rather, it's a service the Bridge Authority offers to its customers.
If you approach the bridge and you're not sure you want to drive yourself across, we have a whole staff full of maintenance workers here that have CDL licenses and motorcycle endorsements, and they can drive you across in anything from a motorcycle to a semi-truck, so, and that's free of charge, so we offer that service.
And being the 50th birthday of this magnificent bridge, if you happen to be in the Straits area on November 1st, you won't want to miss the party.
We will be having a little celebration on November 1st to celebrate our 50th anniversary of opening day. So people are invited here. There'll be a little ceremony at our Bridgeview Park, and I think some birthday cake. So it should be kind of a fun little event.
I really appreciate this, Kim.
You're welcome.
Once again, I'd like to thank Kim Nowak from the Mackinac Bridge Authority for sharing her time with me on this special Technorama. And thank you for joining me. If you enjoyed this, don't forget, we do a regular weekly show where we take a lighthearted look at the world of tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. You can find it at chuckchat.com or look under podcasts on iTunes and search for Technorama. If you have any comments about this show, feel free to call the listener line at 206-222-CHAT. That's 206-222-2428. Or you can email us at technorama@chuckchat.com. We'd love to hear from you. Share your thoughts with us. Thanks again for listening, and until next time, a binary high five. 101.